Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures.
We in the Church at Christ at Wasilla invite you and your family to our Vacation Bible School, which starts on August 1st and ends on the 5th. Classes start at 10 a.m. and end at 12 p.m. Classes are available for all ages. That's right. We will have an adult class for parents wanting to stay with their children. For more information, visit churchofchristwasilla.com.
We hope to see you there. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
We welcome you to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. In the letter to the Church of Christ that met in the city of Rome, the capital of that mighty Roman Empire, the Apostle Paul wrote these words about AD 57. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. The word gospel is defined by Thayer's Greek lexicon, to bring good news, to announce glad tidings. He further states, "joyful tidings of God's kindness, in particular, of the messianic blessings." The gospel is true, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14. The good news is of such magnitude and so significantly vital that our Lord instructed His apostles to go preach or proclaim the gospel to the whole world. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. The apostle Paul declared to the church of Christ at Corinth, "I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also ye stand, by which also you're saved, if ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he hath been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 from the American Standard Translation. Paul preached that men and women are saved by Christ Jesus, who was crucified, who was buried, and who arose from the dead. The gospel contains, number one, facts to be believed. Number two, commands to be obeyed. Number three, promises to be enjoyed. The gospel contains facts, information, to be believed. Since the gospel is God's power to save, what facts of the gospel must one believe to be saved by the gospel? Fact one, one must believe that Jesus was the prophesied Messiah who came. Daniel prophesied of the coming Messiah. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. Andrew found his own brother, Simon Peter, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 41. Now, if you will, turn in your New Testament with us to John chapter 4, and we'll begin reading with verse 6. Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, about noontime. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Jesus, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up unto," or into, "everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mount, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith to Him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I, who speak to you, am He. John chapter 4, verses 6 through 26. Jesus declared Himself to be the promised Messiah. One must believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah who came. Fact 2. One must believe that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the Savior who died for our sins. The Scriptures affirm Jesus was born to save people from sin. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. The Scriptures declare the shedding of blood was necessary for salvation from sin. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. On the cross, Jesus shed His blood. One of the soldiers pierced His side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. John chapter 19 and verse 34. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Christ at Rome again, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. One must believe that Jesus is the Messiah. One must believe that Jesus died to save us. Fact 3. One must believe that Jesus purchased the church with His blood. The Apostle Paul asked the elders of the Church of Christ at Ephesus to meet him in the city of Miletus. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. He admonished the bishops or overseers to take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. With His own blood, Jesus purchased the church of Christ. One must believe that Jesus is the Messiah. One must believe that Jesus died to save us from sin. One must believe that Jesus purchased the church with His blood. Fact 4. One must believe that only those in the body, the church, will be saved. The church is Christ's body. He, God, put all things under His, Christ's, feet and gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. One must believe Jesus will save only those in the church. Only those in the church, in the body, will be saved. One must believe that Jesus is the Messiah. One must believe that Jesus died to save sinners. One must believe Jesus purchased the church with His blood. One must believe only the church will be saved. Fact number 5. One must believe that Jesus arose from the dead. Consider the resurrection of Jesus from the dead from a historical viewpoint. Professor Greenleaf concluded that it was impossible that they, the apostles, could have persisted in affirming the truths they have narrated had not Jesus actually arisen from the dead. And had they not known this fact, as certainly as they knew any other fact. Smith, page 124 from the Christian Courier. Even Abraham, who lived 2,000 years before Jesus, believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Bible says by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And when he, who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. David prophesied Christ's resurrection. The Apostle Peter quotes David on the day of Pentecost, just 50 days after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, and Acts chapter 2, verse 29 through 31. Jesus himself foretold his coming resurrection from the dead. Jesus declared to the Jews, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. John chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Jesus is risen from the dead. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women came to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. Two men, angels according to John chapter 20 and verse 12, stood by them in shining garments. And they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the foundation upon which Christianity is built. If Christ was not raised from the dead, Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, is a hoax. The resurrection of Christ was a point of focus of the apostles' preaching. Peter said, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you made whole." Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered, by hanging on a tree. Acts chapter 5 and verse 30. Peter told Cornelius and those that gathered to hear him that God raised Jesus up on the third day. Acts chapter 10 and verse 40. Paul announced to the people of Athens, God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, Jesus Christ, whom he has ordained. God has given assurance of this to all by raising Christ from the dead. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Christ in Corinth these words, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 through 17. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is likely the best attested fact in human history. One must believe that Jesus is the Messiah. One must believe the fact that Jesus died to save sinners. Fact. One must believe Jesus purchased the church with His blood. Fact. One must believe only the church will be saved. Fact. One must believe Jesus arose from the dead. Number two, the gospel comprises commands to be obeyed. It's necessary to obey the commands of Jesus and the teachings of the gospel to be saved. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of His power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, from the American Standard Translation. Jesus said, "Watch, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Paul declares that Jesus is coming specifically to take vengeance, to punish all who refuse to obey the gospel. Therefore, to avoid the Lord's punishment, you and I should determine to obey the commands of the Lord to escape the place of eternal hell. Paul wrote, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans 10:17. James declared, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only." James chapter 1 and verse 22. The evangelist Philip preached the gospel in the city of Samaria. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. The multitudes gave heed to the message of the gospel. Verses 6, 10, and 11. They gave heed. They held on to the teaching of the gospel facts that Philip taught them about the kingdom or the church. To give heed is to obey. Luke, the inspired writer of Acts, tells how they obeyed. When they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. The Apostle Peter informed the Jews of their guilt of killing Jesus. "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent." Repentance is a command, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. "And let every one of you be baptized." Baptism is a command to be obeyed. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 through 42. "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved," Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Peter commanded Cornelius, his relatives and close friends, to be baptized, Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. The gospel contains facts to be believed. The gospel has commands to be obeyed. The gospel reveals promises to be enjoyed. Blessed are those who do his commands, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. Jesus said, "If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." John chapter 8, verses 21 through 24. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. We can believe the facts of the gospel. We can obey its commands. We will then be rewarded in heaven. The gospel that saves is the gospel that obeys. Are you willing to believe the facts of the gospel? Are you willing to submit to the conditions of the gospel to be saved from your sins? The choice is yours. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773.
We in the Church of Christ at Wasilla invite you and your family to our Vacation Bible School, which starts on August 1st and ends on the 5th. Classes start at 10 a.m. and end at 12 p.m. Classes are available for all ages. That's right. We will have an adult class for parents wanting to stay with their children. For more information, visit churchofchristwasilla.com.
We hope to see you there. Thank you for listening and searching the scriptures with us this morning.